In this country, we have a pretty skeptical view of kings. Mad King George during the American Revolution really cemented a permanent dislike of royalty on these shores. Therefore, it might seem just a little odd that today we celebrate the feast of Christ the King on this last Sunday in the liturgical year. We're not used to thinking of anything good when it comes to kings. But our problem with kings stems from their brokenness and their weaknesses, their greed, their cowardice, their indecision. If you had the perfect king, just, righteous, fair, loving as a father, well, that wouldn't be half bad. On this earth, a perfect king is not to be found, though. And so we prefer democracy, which, according to Winston Churchill, is the worst form of government, except for all the other forms of government. But there is a perfect king, and as he tells Pilate in today's gospel, his kingdom is not of this world either. You and I, brothers and sisters, have been invited to be citizens of this kingdom by our baptisms. In the whole New Testament, this kingdom of God is mentioned 137 times. It's kind of a big deal. We hear about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven so much that sometimes I think we've become just a bit numb to it. And maybe this feast of Christ the King gives us an opportunity to examine it and think about it a little bit more. The kingdom of God, in its fullest and most complete sense, is heaven. Having been brought into the church through our baptisms and following Christ, we hope to attain heaven at the end of our earthly lives and live forever in the presence of God. But what does that look like? If we're aiming at something, we should really know what it is that we're headed toward. Well, let's begin by destroying some false ideas of heaven. Anyone here think of heaven as a place with clouds and angels playing harps? Maybe a ghostly Bugs Bunny or some other cartoon character sitting there? Yeah, well, heaven's going to be nothing like that. Heaven is so other, so different, that it's really hard to find an image that fits it well. I imagine that the idea of angels playing harps was a medieval attempt to try to depict this future reality. But I don't think it works today. Probably most of us have flown in planes above the sky, above the clouds, so living in the clouds isn't really a novelty for us. But more than that, that image just seems boring. Is that really what we have to look forward to? Harp playing? Clouds? Maybe that sounds comfortable if I'm looking for an eternal nap, but hardly the stuff that's going to interest me in trying to change my life. Well, fear not. Everything good and exciting that has ever existed has come from the mind of God. I promise you, heaven will never, ever be boring. Nor is heaven going to look like anything promoted by other religions. The poor Buddhists strive to attain nothingness. Their idea of reaching nirvana is about finally achieving peace by annihilating oneself, at least as an individual person. New Agers often promote similar ideas, that we'll all get reabsorbed into some Mother Nature spirit thingy. I can't personally imagine the attraction of any worldview where I get mashed in along with other people into some nebulous spirit. Muslims seem to be at the opposite end of the spectrum. Their idea of heaven is extremely corporeal, and physical pleasures that they desire most in this world will be afforded to them in abundance. Ironically, most especially the ones that are sinful or denied them in this life. Such a conception of heaven may be easily understood, but it lacks the depth and gravitas and truth of what our Lord and Scripture have promised. So what is heaven like? Well, it's a mystery, which means that we can't explain all of it, But we have some pretty interesting clues. First of all, people in heaven are people. We don't get transmogrified into some group person or communal spirit. Maybe that's obvious to us, but there are so many people who have bought into these Gnostic-like New Agey heresies that it's really a point worth considering. You will be you in heaven. The person that you have become through your choices in this world is the person who, God willing, will be in eternity in heaven. You will not be lost or absorbed, and you will not end. Jesus wants you in heaven. You will also have a body. We always pray in the Apostles' Creed that we believe in the resurrection of the body. Well, that means you. You will have a resurrected, glorified body in heaven without all of the imperfections and illnesses that you have in this world. You will be beautiful. You won't struggle with being overweight or having high blood pressure. Your body will perfectly display your soul, unlike in this life when our bodies tend to mask our souls. How exactly it all works, we don't quite know yet. But again, we do have a hint. Think of the eyes. You know how you can see into a person in some real but unmeasurable way through their eyes? Well, it'll be like that with our whole bodies in heaven. Our eyes are the windows of the soul here, but there, our body will be the window of the soul. Remember all of Jesus' post-resurrection experiences in his glorified body? Usually his friends and disciples didn't recognize him at first, but then they could see him as he truly was. We will have bodies like Jesus does. He eats in this body. He walks through closed doors in this body. He allows Thomas to touch his hands and his side in this body. It will be amazing to see what we're capable of. A buddy of mine this week told me that he thought I'd even be good at basketball in my glorified body. We'll see. And what will we do in heaven? Well, until we understand heaven better, only partial images will suffice. But in short, we will be fully happy, fully at peace, fully joy-filled. We will behold our God and be filled with his loving presence. Now, because of our human weaknesses, beholding God might not seem incredibly exciting. I wish that in every prayer experience I had, I was filled with rapture and ecstasy. But it will be like that in heaven. Maybe on occasion you've had the opportunity to experience intimate communion with our Lord and understand what that's like. Or maybe you've experienced that perfect moment of love with a spouse or a child or a parent, where you just gaze on them peacefully and want that instant to last for the rest of your life. Well, that's a preview, guys. That moment will last forever, and we'll never tire of it. But God is not the only one in heaven either. You will be surrounded by all the saints. We pray that your family members and your friends will all be there with you too. And since only the perfect can exist in heaven, they will all have lost any of those annoying little quirks that allow you to appreciate them best in small doses. Your love for them will grow and grow throughout eternity. You will never tire of being with the communion of saints. And you'll get to know everyone else as well, all those who love God with their whole being. Distance and time won't separate you from anyone any longer, because the new reality in which you live does not work according to the physics that we know today. Heaven and earth will pass away, replaced by a new heaven and a new earth. Love will truly be the binding force that makes the world go round. Brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God, heaven, awaits us in its fullness in the future. But Jesus announced that the kingdom of God is already at hand. And this is true because the church is that kingdom. Jesus is the head of the church, and we, the baptized, are his subjects. We are bound together in love, and we share that love with all those around us. The church has not yet reached its final destination. And in this time, we seek to invite as many as possible into the kingdom. I encourage you to participate in the building up of the kingdom, the church, by evangelizing, by sharing with other people the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for you and for your salvation. And pray the rosary. Pray it for the conversion of sinners. We have no more powerful prayer that we can do ourselves for the building up of the church than this love song to Our Lady. And when Christ the King comes again and all will be transformed, the church will become fully realized. The earth will be remade. We will receive our perfected bodies. And we will be free to love fully as God intends. We are blessed because we are already citizens of Christ's kingdom. And if we persevere to the end, growing in love with him and uniting ourselves to his church, then we will find ourselves enraptured in this kingdom of love. Today, when you approach Christ the King at Holy Communion, thank him for offering his kingdom to you, and ask him to accompany you always through your life, so that one day you will behold the splendor and glory of his fully realized kingdom for eternity. Amen.